The Akashic Record is a dimension of consciousness that contains a vibrational record of every soul and its journey. It is completely available everywhere. Location and time do not affect the record, and human beings have been interacting consciously and unconsciously with this body of energies throughout history. These interactions have been both deliberate and accidental. And I might add on my part, they've been accidental. Referred to in virtually every major tradition or religion as the Book of Life and the Book of God's Remembrance. This body of wisdom has been an ever-present source of spiritual support for people, including those in our Western society. So I want to welcome everyone in to Affirmations for Living. Of course, I am your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige, and once again, delighted to bring you some awesome information today. But first, Affirmations for Living, as you know, is about affirming a positive way of living because it is your birthright to live with passion and purpose, and guess what? To prosper. You will learn how to connect to your higher conscious mind as I take you on this journey of self-discovery and higher awareness while utilizing a process that releases any negativity. So I invite you to really connect. If you haven't gone to my website, affirmationsforliving.net, please do so. There's so many different tools there to inspire you and to help you on this path, whether you're wanting to find soul purpose or health or wealth or happiness, whatever it is. My goal truly is to support you on a manifestation of your dreams and your desires. So visit Affirmations for Living today. Of course, if you haven't already gotten my app, Awakened, please do so because it's free. And every Monday, we send out free Monday affirmations. And they're really wonderful. You know, those are tools of empowering and tools of helping you to truly begin to create the life that you desire. So I would invite you that if you haven't already downloaded Awakened, A-W-A-K-E-N-E-D, do so today. And if you haven't visited the site, do so. I have a newsletter that you can sign up for, and it comes out monthly, all sorts of tidbits. For example, I have two new webinars getting ready to begin in June, and they're two different levels. We have Raising Your Consciousness, really, which is a beginner's level, to help you to become aware, to be mindful, to start to pay attention to your thoughts daily, and to get you off of that autopilot. And then there's level two, if you want to call it that. It's called You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And of course, I named that after my forthcoming book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And that really is for those who are beginning to have these experiences of awakening, beginning to, you know, if you have listened to me, you know that I talk about pulsing and vibrating and having visitations and all sorts of experiences. So it's for those who are moving on this path of enlightenment, right? And want to really discuss the symptoms, our role in this whole process. And so two exciting webinar series that are going to be beginning in another couple of weeks. So I invite you to check out my website, affirmationsforliving.net, where you'll find all the information as it becomes available. So this Akashic Record, the record, and my guest today is Carol Obley. So she will be joining us momentarily. She's a best-selling author. She has done at least 7,000 past life regressions and readings. So very interesting. But we're going to really deal with the Akashic Record. And I invite you to call in with your questions, if you have them, if you'd like to know how you can access this information yourself, or perhaps ask Carol to access it for you. That call-in number today is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. Now, the Akashic Record is an experiential body of wisdom, insight, guidance, and healing information. It can be accessed by means of a simple sacred prayer. Saying this prayer causes a shift in your consciousness. And again, that's what's so important about understanding this idea of consciousness, understanding that, what does that exactly mean? That means, what are you giving thought to in this moment? I am conscious in this moment, thinking this, paying attention to the words that I'm saying here live to you, or record it if you get to it later. But it's important that we understand what this idea of conscious living is all about. Okay? Anyway, so saying this prayer causes a shift in your consciousness sufficient to register the subtle impressions of the record. It is a mutual action where the reader, you, move into the alignment with the record, and at the same time, this record moves into alignment with you. And so it's exciting. Again, I invite you to call in if you are listening live with your questions, because I find this information just intriguing. You know, I've had experiences where actually I was taken to the Akashic Hall, and it's absolutely magnificent. There, you know, the way I saw it, the impression that I received was there's a book, and it's a massive book, probably 18 inches high by maybe 4 inches thick, everyone has their own individual book, and every experience, every lifetime that you have, everything is in that book. As a matter of fact, before I bring Carol out, I'll share this one quick story with you, and it's about that. In all the experiences that I have, I found myself in this beautiful golden white place that you go to before birth. And there with me were two of my guides, and I won't give you their names, but two of my guides, two of the female guides, and I have about six or so. And we sat down at this table together. One was on either side of me, and I began to write in the pages of that book. And when I had finished writing on those pages, they got up with me. We walked over to what appeared to be the edge of this golden white space, and I looked over, and there was my mom about to give birth to me. And so, you know, we sometimes question, did we really choose these experiences that we're having? And I say to you, well, yes, the potential for those experiences and how they would, you actually chose what lessons you would learn, and then those lessons come to you, how you are open vibrationally to receive them, and then they play out. And so wherever you are, be grateful, give gratitude for it, knowing that you're the manifester of it. And as you begin to change your process of reasoning, of thinking, of raising your consciousness, then you will begin to be able to more move and bend at will how you want everything to play out. So it's fascinating, and she's going to be joining us momentarily. So again, I invite you to call in at 323-203-0815. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and I am back. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige, and my guest, Carol Obley, is with me today live. Hello, Carol. How are you? Welcome in.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Very good. So this is exciting because, you know, I've actually gone to the Akashic Hall, if you want to call it that. It looks like a big library is what I saw. So it'll just be really exciting to talk about this today. If you would share your background experiences with our audience, please.
Well, I've been a medium for 20 plus years. Actually was born with that ability, but did not develop it until I was in my mid to late 30s. And to date, I've done thousands of readings. I've actually lost count. And long ago, on the topic of the Akashic Record, long ago when I first started, I started seeing images, and I got feelings with clients. And so everything has developed from there as far as this ability to read into the Book of Life or the Akashic. So I've had a lot of training to be able to do that as well. One of the places is Delphi University, that's near Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then Lilydale in New York, which is a spiritualist community that offers workshops and classes every summer. I'm teaching there again this year. But I've also taken a lot of training there. And then various other teachers as well.
Wonderful. Very cool. So now, what exactly are the Akashic Records? And, well, what does Akashic even mean? Because that's an unusual word.
Yeah, it is. It's actually a Sanskrit word, and it means ethers. And So these records that we're going to talk about today are really energetic, I don't know what to call them other than recordings, you know. Mm-hmm. They're energetic recordings in the ethers. Long ago, I studied Edgar Cayce, and I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with him.
Cayce Absolutely.
Was probably the most famous American psychic, doing his readings in the 20s and 30s, actually burned out at an early age because he didn't pay attention to the advice to only do so many per day, and he burned himself out. But he wrote a lot about the Akashic Records. In fact, Cayce, when he went into trance, he would go into full trance, meaning he would become unconscious. And his secretary was the one who recorded or wrote down everything that he said in the readings. He would travel to these energetic recordings, given an individual's name, which is the stamp of individuality or vibration for the soul. Mm-hmm. And he would travel in his consciousness to those and retrieve information and then give that information to the secretary, who would write it down and then pass it on to the client. So Cayce was really an expert in the Akashic. He said that it is everything, every thought, every word, and every deed that the soul has had since the beginning of time, mm-hmm. including in between lifetimes.
Well, and we go on sojourns in between. So just because we're not here in the physical, we certainly continue. We are, you know, so that would stand to reason that the experiences and what you're doing when you're not embodied on Earth, because you can be embodied on another planet after all, or just be in spirit, you still exist. So that would be fascinating to really be able to see what's going on in that space, in that time dimension.
Yeah, and
wow.
It is. That's another facet of my work that I've studied, most notably in the field of metaphysics, is Michael Newton, Michael Newton, PhD, mm-hmm. who wrote Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Memories of the Afterlife, and I think there's another training manual as well for therapists who want to be able to conduct life between life sessions. Newton wrote a lot about having these life reviews and, you know, kind of having a perspective of our life after we leave it. And in my work, I've seen that too. Of course, I specialize in connection with people who've crossed into spirit, being a bridge for clients, and, you know, connecting them with deceased loved ones. Many times they will come through and offer some sort of wisdom or insight regarding their life, what they've been able to review, and then uplifting messages for people based on what they've been able to see since they've crossed over. So it really is a fascinating aspect of mediumship, this whole idea of these records that each human being has.
Wow, and I have so many questions rolling around in my head right now. I'm trying to just stay focused one at a time, because the Akashic Record speaks to your blueprint, what you are here to do, but then it actually shows what you've done previously and what you have written or directed to do in the future. So it's just so dynamic. Does everyone have a record?
Yes, every human being has what is called the Akashic Record. Also, Cayce called it the Book of Life. You'll hear me use that. I use either term.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are universal. There's a universal Akashic Record. And then there is a human, you know, human being, you know, for the whole race, the whole species, Akashic Record. And who knows what else? I don't know if animals have that. I have not encountered that,
mm-hmm.
but that could be true as well. But I do know that human beings have each person has an Akashic record that records everything. Think of it as a giant tape recorder that's constantly on, and it's endless, and it's recording everything that we experience, and it's always moving.
And exactly, because if you think of it that way as a recorder, it is always moving because your spirit is continuous, whether you're in body or not. So it would be recording absolutely everything. What then is the purpose of this record?
Well, you mentioned blueprints, and that's something that in two of my books, I'm Still With You, and then the new book, Soul to Soul Connections, I've written about blueprints. What I've seen through my work is that, as you were saying, the blueprint is it kind of how, you know, the soul is going to express. And when I say express, what qualities of the divine or what spiritual lessons does the soul have this time around, this incarnation?
Mm-hmm.
And the record contains that. So it's sort of an imprint, if you will, of that. It serves that purpose. It also serves the purpose of checks and balances. You know, this little word called karma mm-hmm. is recorded there. And really, I look at the records as recorders of karma, meaning cause and effect. So the records are keep that. And it doesn't matter, you know, what we do. I know there's been some teachers out there and said you don't have to create karma anymore and, you know, you can erase karma. I really beg to differ with that. I think we're constantly, I know that we are constantly creating karma, whether it's, quote, positive or, quote, negative, because we're here in three-dimensional reality. So the records serve the purpose of keeping that, you know, keeping track of all of that, because the soul is always leaving its footprints, so to speak,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Imprints, and it just happens automatically.
Well, and it would stand to reason that, you know, we're still experiencing this thing called life, and so the goal of the whole idea of raising one's vibration and becoming more God-centered is to then create from that space of love. And in so doing, then your karmic footprint would be of love and light and joy and peace and harmony and balance and all of these wonderful attributes that you really desire. And so, you know, karma, for some, I don't know why they think it has to be a bad thing. You can build karma credits, you know, and have all sorts of amazing things
yes.
happen to you. So
yes,
karma isn't a bad thing.
I call it the karmic bank account.
Yes.
And, there are certain individuals that I've done readings for over the years, and I will actually see a clairvoyant image when we're speaking about, you know, whatever aspect of their life. And the image is kind of like a big pile of dirt, you know, and it's on the left side of them, and that's just my symbol saying, you know, they've unearthed all this good stuff, and so they're working with this huge bank account. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, are my finances going to improve or get any better? And I will say yes, because you've given so much of yourself to other people, or, you know, through tithing or time or whatever, through service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all recorded. It's like a boomerang. I mean, it will return.
Give as you wish to receive. Right?
Exactly.
That's the saying. That's a good saying for a reason. So now you already said that the records are stored in the ethers. So for the listeners who don't know what the ethers mean, could you explain that?
Well, I guess it's best put, but Casey said there are the records that are imprinted upon the skein of time and space, and meaning, you know, the universal mind, all that is, the source energy, the God energy. I seldom use the word God because it's been so misused, so I either say spirit or, you know, universal mind sounds kind of cold, I guess. I don't know. But that intelligence, that's where these records exist. Now, also, when I took some of my training at Delphi, and I've been highly trained also in spiritual healing, hands-on healing, one of my teachers said that energetically it's also stored in the physical body, the Akashic, in the left ventricle of the heart, which I found very fascinating. And that's what he had seen through his experience as a healer. Mm-hmm. And I guess his spirit guides also told him that. The guardian angel of each individual, which everyone has, supposedly is also a guardian of the record.
Yes.
Of that person.
Mm-hmm. So very familiar with that aspect of it. I know that the name of that particular guide or guardian of mine, and she holds that record. Yeah. I was blessed with being able to see her once, and oh my goodness, absolutely magnificent, and everything that you could imagine, every attribute that you could possibly want, from beauty to power to wisdom to compassion, was all encompassed within her. And literally her, you know, she looked like an angel without wings, and she just glistened. Everything was just pure light and beautiful. The fabric of her gown was white and glistening in ultraviolet and this light aqua type blue, just beautiful. And she told me that I was here to help bring people into the light, and she holds my record.
Sounds like an angel to me.
Yes. And it was so funny because I was, you know, in this altered state walking up the stairs too. And when I got to the top of it, it was brilliant, bright white light. And then there appeared this Akashic Hall, and there she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned the hall. I also have seen, I've traveled to the Akashic. I call it a library because there's so much wisdom and knowledge stored there. And actually, if you do a regression with somebody too, a past life regression, or, you know, just to go to the Akashic, it's often depicted as a giant library.
That's exactly what I saw. And earlier, before I brought you on, that's how I described it. It was magnificent. And if anyone's been to New York, to a library in New York, how just ornate they are with hand-carved mahogany shelves, well, imagine bookcases like that, but they go up so high that they don't end. And the books look like they were about 18 inches high and maybe 4 or 5 inches thick. I mean, just magnificent. And rows and rows and rows, unending. That's what I saw.
Yeah, I also have had that identical image. And usually there's a spirit guide, the master guide. Each person usually has a master guide. What do I mean by that? Well, the master guide is that soul who has agreed to help us through many incarnations. Usually, they do not have to return here. They have mastered a lot of the lessons here, most of the lessons on the earth plane. But from my understanding, there is a master guide for each person. And they stand by. They sit with us before we come into physical form. And then they also help us throughout our lifetime here in the physical world. And then afterlife, too.
Carol,
and they help us review the record.
Oh, my goodness. You don't even understand what you're just saying. Because, again, the other story I told prior to bringing you on was in one of my experiences in a regression, I went to this golden white place where that particular guide angel, she was, and she sat with me at a table as I was writing in the pages of a book. And when I was done, she and another guide got up, walked me to the edge. I looked over, I saw my mom about to give birth to me, and then they moved with me into the womb, and I knew that they would be with me I could feel their presence right there with me and the love, and I could feel the love of my mom, and then I came out of it.
Yes, that definitely sounds like a pre-birth memory. And again, referring to Newton's work, he wrote a lot about that in the books, from a lot of dialogue from directly from his sessions with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at then, you know, the circumstances of the birth and why the knowledge came to the person of why they had those circumstances. It's just, it's all fascinating. Very, very interesting stuff.
Yes, it is.
And very revealing, too, because we can often get into why we've had certain challenges. And that's also the value of knowing your own record or doing a meditation to access the record. Because sometimes, you know, and I'm sure you've been through this, we just get stuck. And we have, you know, life challenges, and we wonder, what is it about, you know, relationships that's so hard for me? What is it about illness or, you know, my family? These are things I hear all the time in readings.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, a visit to the Akashic can reveal that of what the karma is surrounding any of those issues.
Now, once it's revealed, can you address it and release it, or do you still have to play it out?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that I think it can work either way. I think sometimes we, first, obviously, for some reason, oftentimes beyond our conscious understanding, the soul needs to experience challenge in order to grow beyond it. So, you know, in that respect, the actual experience is the healing. Now, isn't that fascinating?
Well, yes. Yeah.
We're in the middle of it, and I just want it to go away. I know I do that a lot. I struggle with an autoimmune condition, and I just, you know, I pray all the time, please, you know, let this
just
be
healed,
balanced and released. And, you know, I think there's something here that I need to experience, whether it's patience, endurance, or whatever. There's a certain quality that comes through illness that can't come any other way.
Wow.
So then I think other times there are certain circumstances with the understanding. For example, in a number of Casey's readings, you know, the remedies that he gave to people for physical ailments, once things were balanced and then they had knowledge of why they were experiencing something, it seemed to make it better. So I think it can work both ways.
I have a saying called chaos into harmony. So, you know, sometimes those things that appear to be chaotic are just there to help bring us back into alignment of what we're here to do. Now, my next question is, how do you read the records, and how does the information come to you?
Well, as I said at the beginning of the program, years ago, and I'm talking, you know, 15, 18 years ago, mm-hmm. when I first started, when I was just sitting with people, and they were asking questions, you know, about, well, what do you see for this relationship? You know, what about, you know, my health, or can you get in touch with the deceased loved one? Sometimes over the person's right shoulder, and because I was facing them, my left, I would start to see these scenes open up. And it was just, I never asked for it. It was just very spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of, you know, my sensitivity, it came that way. So, a person doesn't have to go to a medium, though. You can read your own record. There are exercises that you can do, meditations. I know that there is a good one on Sounds True. They have a lot of spiritual programs. And the name of the lady is going to escape me right now, but there is a woman who has created CDs on the Akashic Records through Sounds True. in which you can, you know, use those CDs to go into the records yourself. You can also go into a light hypnosis with a, you know, a therapist, someone that's trained in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And or you can have a medium read them, someone who's skilled, someone who is tuned in, can read them for you. That's what I do. I do a type of reading I do is Akashic record reading. And it's fascinating, you know, what is able to come through. I usually ask a person to have an intent before the session so that, you know, we can go into this massive storehouse of energy and through our intent be like a laser beam that cuts in to exactly, you know, what issue we want to address. So
okay.
It's much like going into a, you know, a big, like a Walmart or, you know, a large store, and you go, well, I don't know what I'm really here for. I'm just going to wander around. If you don't have an intent, you know, you don't know what you're going in for. So it's always good to write that down and to have that available.
Okay. So if I said to you, can you look into my record, would you be able to do that, or does it require special preparation, or is it just by me asking you that you can do it?
Yeah, well, usually I'll say, what aspect of your life do you, you know, want light shed on?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a problem area? Have there been challenges? You know, people who just say, well, you know, I just want to know what I was doing in my past life. Much too vague in general, because it's such a massive storehouse. So it is good to have that intent. I think I had said on our last show that I definitely was aware of you, Edwige, in Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you acknowledged that you had some prior connection there. You had felt drawn to Egyptian things, right?
Well, and actually, yes, I was a priestess. I've had two lifetimes that I am aware of in Egypt, and I was a priestess in one. And the interesting thing about that lifetime, I taught sacred geometry as a priestess in one, and I was a physician in another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to say, before you said it, I saw you in the temples as a priestess. And actually, you were entrusted with a lot of very esoteric information. And yes, worked a lot with geometrical designs. In fact, I'm aware of those being in your energy field now. So they are transmitters of information. The sacred geometry, there's information contained in those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if we're downloading that. You know, when I see those in someone's energy field, I know that they've worked with it before and that they're, you know, they're downloading that information, accessing that information again. So you've got them there.
And I would have to agree, because almost every day I pulse and vibrate and see colors. They form shapes. I close my eyes and see colors, and they form shapes. I move through vortexes. All sorts of very interesting things are happening. And so, yes, those geometric shapes are there. I had one experience where I opened my eyes one morning from sleeping, and literally I watched as these straight lines of different colors came together, made geometric shapes, and danced and moved. And I'm like, what am I looking at? And I am awake seeing this. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, our past experiences, I have no concept when, you know, when you hear people say all time is happening at once, I have absolutely no concept of that. I think most people do not. But there is a bleed through, I call them bleed throughs, that people can have also in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people will have bad dreams, nightmares, and they'll say, why do I keep having this recurring nightmare? Well, if you go into it, 9 times out of 10, it's probably something that's in the subconscious that was related to a traumatic passing, a traumatic experience in past life, and it's as if the person is trying to work it out. You know, and I don't think traditional psychotherapy really addresses that too adequately. In a lot of those cases, I really think people could get more help by doing something energetic or metaphysical with it.
Absolutely. And that's so true, because, you know, that's why lucid dreams and becoming aware is so important, because you can change them. When I first learned a couple of years ago how to lucid dream, it was just fascinating. I would find myself sleeping, you know, in the living room with my husband. We'd lay on the sofa and I'd fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I was in a dream state dreaming, but I was still hearing the television, but the dream had nothing to do with what was playing on the television. And I was also very aware that he was up getting around, going into the kitchen, getting whatever to eat. And when I was done and back into this state, I was aware of all three experiences and could recount them with ease. And then I found myself going to sleep and changing the dream. I would be able to stop it and redo it. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? That's how I developed being able to control my dreams. Interesting how it all happened that way. But that's how it happened for me.
Lucid dreaming is something I haven't mastered. but I've read a lot about it. And, you know, with the Akashic, too, you don't have to go into a really deep trance or be asleep. Some people can access it, like myself. I'm very easy to hypnotize because I can go into altered state. I can just go into very light, you know, subconscious state, and I can access my own Akashic. It's easier, I believe, if you have somebody who's guiding you than to just try to do it on your own, or listening to a tape, you know, a CD. I think it's easier that way than trying to do it on your own.
Absolutely. Gosh, this is so interesting. So pretty much you can do it if you, like anything, practice. So, and if not, of course, they can reach out to someone like you or find Saying Sounds True, that website.
Yeah. There are, that is the only CD set that I know. And I believe there's only one on Sounds True. That I know exists for that. There may be others. You know, you can search on the internet. I think the woman who did the CD set has a lot of integrity.
Okay.
I think sometimes people, you know, think they're reading the Akashic or they want to explore that. And, you know, you can really, if you're not careful, you could do another person harm or yourself. If you don't approach it with kind of a reverent attitude, you know, and really a sacredness, because if you really want to get to the bottom of something and not play with it, I think that you need to, you know, approach it in that way. So,
absolutely,
it's good to go to someone qualified.
It's true. Well, because this is your life and, you know, it should matter to you. And so you definitely want to make sure that anytime you invite someone in energetically, that they are of the utmost integrity.
I like the way you said that. This is your life. Yes, it is. And it is that important.
It truly is. And not to just go to any psychic, not to allow anyone into your energetic field, but taking it to the next level, protecting your energetic field. It's so vitally important, especially as your light becomes brighter. Now, but enough on that, because that could be a whole other show. You mentioned the blueprint, and I know we spoke briefly on that, but just give the importance of this blueprint and the relevance it has to spirituality.
Yeah, well, the blueprints are an outline or an energetic design, let's say a design for the incoming soul, and it relates to what are the soul lessons this time around? What does the soul still need to more practice on, if you will? And how does it, you know, kind of plan to express itself? And what circumstances, which are also included in the blueprint, the parents, the environment, the physical body, the personality, these are all part of the blueprint. What is the soul going to take on this time in order to advance itself, in order to remove another layer of ego from around itself? What specifically is it going to do? What circumstances is it going to be born into? Is there going to be religion or a lack of religion? Is there going to be, say, something like abuse because it needs to master certain lessons associated with abuse? Is there going to be poverty or wealth? You know, these are all part of the soul's blueprint. So it really is a design. And those things are encoded. Let me speak to that for a moment about this thing called encoding. Because this is energy, before we come here, it's more or less imprinted in our soul consciousness. Now, that is different than the rational consciousness. You know, the rational thinking consciousness is from our left brain, and that's, you know, what we, our personality expresses from that, and our day-to-day living, we balance a checkbook from that. The soul consciousness is the higher self, and that's where these this blueprint is encoded. So a lot of people walking around who aren't metaphysical don't know anything about a blueprint, but they play it out unconsciously. And there's nothing wrong with that. I myself would rather have the knowledge. But sometimes people will play it out unconsciously. Sometimes they can get to it, takes a long time, through having problems in life and maybe seeking out psychotherapy, maybe in other ways too. So, you know, the blueprint really functions with the encoding on a subconscious level. Now, it also functions in relationship. For example, we're to meet somebody, we're to meet another soul, either to get married to them, maybe to initiate some sort of project, maybe to work on some sort of scientific advance. There are many, many different reasons why we're to meet up with people. Those are also encoded, and it's sort of like a you heard this term, photographic memory?
Yes.
That's kind of what it is. Like something jogs that encryption. And when we meet that person, we recognize them. We don't consciously remember that, but there's something about them that, that feels very familiar. And it's because of this encoding. And they could be from our soul group too, you know, our family group. I'm using family in the broad term. But there's a spark that goes off when that encoding is enacted, is, you know, electrified. And so we know that that's where we're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
We don't consciously know it, but we know it on a soul level.
You know, and that's so funny because when I met my husband, actually he was a blind date, but we talked on the telephone for a couple of weeks and I'm like, okay, I guess we'll finally meet. Well, when I opened the door and saw him, my heart leaped and I'm like, oh my goodness. 2 years later, he was my husband. But then a couple of years ago, I did a regression and I found myself, of all places, Denmark, old world, and we had a thatch roof hut type home, and I had three children, and the regressionist, the therapist said, do you recognize them? And I said, no, not yet. And as I got closer to him and looked into his eyes, I'm like, oh my goodness, you're my husband. But he was my son in that life.
Yes.
And my mom in this life was my little girl in that life. And my baby sister, she's 7 years younger than I, she was my older daughter in that life. And oh my goodness, it was this beautiful, one of the simplest lives that I've ever seen, because almost every other life has been as a priestess, or a nun, or a monk. But in this one, it was just the simple life that they showed me, that where the connection was to them. And in this lifetime, he's my husband, one's my mom, the other's my sister, and the three of us are just close and loving and just have this true, authentic, you know, respect for each other. And so it's so interesting that I was shown a life where we were together back then, and it was just this lovely, beautiful existence that we shared together then. So yeah, interesting how that is. And I had no idea when I met him. I just knew, whoa, my heart just jumped. What's
yeah,
that?
There's that spark of recognition. And you know, as you were saying, what I've seen and through my work is that the soul does play many different roles. These are all roles that we try on here. It's like, you know, Shakespeare said all the world's a stage, and you know, we're playing the roles there, and that's so true. Shakespeare was very metaphysical in his writings, and so we're trying on these roles. And it's for purposes of advancing the soul. That's the only reason that we do that, that,
exactly.
You know, we need to grow spiritually. But there is that instantaneous spark. Another interesting facet of this is sound recognition. Now, Newton wrote in his material about this, the sound of someone's voice can spark that off. You mentioned the sight. There's also the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had that happen to me. It's very, very interesting when that happens. That something, there's a tone, an undercurrent in someone's voice that sparks a recognition in us. So there's all sorts of interesting, you know, sidelines to these blueprints and how they play out.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's already that time again. Let's make sure, Carol, that we give everyone your contact information, your website, and the names of your books again.
Yes, well, all three books, Embracing the Ties That Bind, I'm Still With You, True Stories of Healing Grief Through Spirit Communication, and my latest book, Soul to Soul Connections, Comforting Messages from the Spirit World. They're all available on my website, soulvisions.net. That's soulvisions, all one word, .net. They're also all available on amazon.com. My CD sets are also available there, too.
Okay, wonderful. And as always, on my host page at LA Talk Radio, a link to your website will be there as well. So they'll be able to reach you that way. Oh, absolutely. Once again, this has had been just a lovely time spending this with you. I appreciate it.
Yes, a lot of familiar stories between the two of us.
Oh, I know.
I'm sure your listeners could identify
as
with
well.
Things too.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Until next time, be blessed. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye. So there you have it, everyone. A little bit on the Akashic Record, what it is and how to access it. And of course, you can always reach out to Carol if you want to have a medium do that for you and find out what's going on in that record, if anything is in fact holding you back or where you should be putting your efforts and energies. And so I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, if you haven't already downloaded my app, Awakened, please do so. I love to give out every Monday. We send out affirmations, those words that are true about ourselves to help us to begin to positively move in the right direction. And of course, visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net, to stay tuned to what's happening, what's coming up, and to be the best that you can be. Until next time, be blessed. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.